guest is Max Egan, and he is living in Australia. And his website is thecrowhouse.com. Have you always lived in Australia, Max? Pretty much. Are you there? Oh, could you call him back? Okay. I was mentioning in the chat room that I have never used a cake mix or any other kind of a mix because who knows what's in it. And when you make things from scratch, they always taste better. You know what you're getting. You know what went into the product. And Max brought up the idea that he mentioned peanut butter, that peanut butter seemed to be in everything, and which caused me to think of the adjuvant that they put in vaccines. Back after World War II, they began to add peanut oil to certain vaccines. I'm not sure of the year, but they began to add peanut oil. And so now you have just hundreds, thousands of children who are allergic to peanuts. And they have to carry an EpiPen, and they have to avoid people with that are eating peanuts, and children who are in the lunchroom. Do they still have lunchrooms? I don't know. But the other children can't bring peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. It just really makes you wonder what they're doing. And of course, there does seem to be an absolute agenda to what is going on. Did we get Max back yet? Huh. Oh, okay. Meanwhile, if you want to call in and speak to the topic that we're talking about, feel free. That's 800-313-9443. He did mention that he didn't know whether he could do all 3 hours. So, oh, that's weird. Okay, call him anyway. Anyway, if you'd like to call in, the number, of course, is 800-313-9443. This whole pandemic is just such an amazing thing. And, of course, because it is worldwide, you know that all of the governments are working together on it. That it is something that was talked about years ago, back as early as 2015, that we know of, was probably talked about before that. And things happened to us incrementally. It didn't just all of a sudden we're in this situation. There had to be other things in place in order to get us there. And of course, one thing that I believe had to take place was the Affordable Health Care Act. Even if you go back further and you bring in Medicare back in 1965, and people thought, oh gosh, what a wonderful thing. Or even back further, Social Security thought, oh, this is just going to be a temporary kind of a thing. But pretty soon, you're dependent on the government for several things that you should be totally dependent upon yourself for. And that is just not the case. And when Hillary Clinton was in as well, Clinton's wife, and she attempted during his administration to implement a health care plan, and she was unable to do it. They also designated I believe it was 1990, as the year of the brain kind of a thing. The year when people would start looking at psychiatric issues as something that was very, very disturbing. Excuse me. And so this has not been all of a sudden. It is okay. Do we have Max back or no? I know you're answering the phone too.
Yeah, I'm back, I think.
Oh, bless your heart. I thought, oh gosh, I don't know.
That
what
was interesting,
to you.
Wasn't it?
Yes.
I just lost the internet completely. I had to restart my computer to get the internet back.
Oh my gosh. Must have been something you said.
Interesting how that happened.
You mentioned peanut butter. You said that as you travel about that you looked at a lot of labels and that you noticed that peanut butter was in everything. And so during your absence, I was talking about peanut oil being in vaccines, that they started using it as an adjuvant. And now you have all of these children who have to carry an EpiPen because they are allergic to peanuts. And which is kind of tragic. Every child should be able to love and enjoy a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But anyway, you think, well, why would Big Pharma do that? And then you have to think, well, why would Big Pharma do a lot of the stuff that they do? They have 18% of the gross domestic product in the United States as of a year ago. 18%. That is a lot.
The thing is about Big Pharma, and it's not in their best interest to have a healthy population.
No, of course
because
not.
Because they sell you drugs. They want to sell you drugs to deal with sickness. So, of course,
sure.
They've got to create sickness in you in order to sell their drugs.
Sure.
Why would anyone think that big pharmaceuticals and pharmaceutical companies are trying to get you well? Of course they're not. And it's not. It doesn't. It's a business, and it doesn't work for them if you're well. That's one thing I'll say about China. You know, as much as the Chinese system is pretty messed up, the medical system's great. They still use a lot of herbal remedies in China, and you go for regular checkups, and you pay your doctor for every checkup. But if you get sick, then you go to the doctor more often, and you don't pay the doctor when you're sick because the doctor hasn't been doing his job. Because if you get sick, and he's been steering you down the wrong path and giving you things that are making you sick. So he's got to get you well again. And
right.
That's why they use herbal remedies and things. And that's a great medical system to have. If you're going to have any type of government-controlled medical system, that's what it should be, that you actually don't pay the doctors when you get sick. You only
right.
pay them if you're healthy. So therefore, there's no incentive for them to get you sick. There's only an incentive for them to keep you healthy.
Rockefeller attempted to impose Western medicine in China. He was fairly successful in doing that, but for 5,000 years at least, the Chinese 5,000 years ago developed a system where they knew the body, they knew the meridian structure, they knew all of the radiant circuits, they knew how to take care of themselves without any outside a product. And it's called energy medicine here in this country. And it's what I'm engaged in energy medicine. I'm in my second year of learning. And it's wonderful. It's a terrific thing because God gave you an immune system to keep you well. And so when I first heard about this COVID nonsense, I thought, well, gosh, this doesn't compute here because it doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make any sense. And there's a lot of people that it seems that the more money that you make, the more indoctrinated you are to accept allopathic medicine, whereas people who perhaps come from a different country or just don't go to the doctor, they seem to be healthier. They don't get the vaccines or some of the other things that are prescribed. But if you are a professional, if you're well-educated, it seems actually that you're well indoctrinated. Would you agree with that, or?
Very much. I mean, I've often said that when people get to a certain level of education, they become stupid. It seems the more letters they get after their name, the more stupid they become, in as much as the
Right.
more closed off to reality they become. And it all becomes about, you know, what they've read in the books and what their degree says. You can get any of these people and you can have a debate with them about something. And when you back them into a corner and get them into a point where they simply can't explain what they're saying, they'll simply brandish their degree. Say, well,
Right.
I'm a professor. You have no right to argue with me because I'm a professor, you know? And
Right.
that's it. End of argument. So, but they just get, it's more and more, the more letters you've got, the more indoctrinated you are. You know, you go out, if you really want to know what's going on in the world, go out and experience the world. That's how to do it. You don't learn it from sitting in a university and reading someone else's concept of the world in a book somewhere. You know, you actually go
Right.
out and do it yourself.
Right. We do have some callers. Maybe we should take a call or two and with questions. John in Florida.
Hi, this is Charles in Florida.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Yeah, Deanna. Yeah, I'm saying hello to Max Egan too. I watch your program all the time on the truthseeker.com .co.uk. And interesting, your last program you had was very interesting about your friend who was put into a trance, the one that joined a certain secret society. You were talking about that, about it. Yeah, that was
Yeah,
very interesting.
interesting thing that happened to him. I mean, when I look at that text that I had on the screen that talked about Scott Morrison and what he has supposedly done, whether it's true or not, I mean, when you read that and the way we're saying, well, you know, your type doesn't deserve to breathe, I mean, it sounds like Scott Morrison was in some sort of a trance type state as well. It doesn't sound like he was himself, and it just, I find it incredibly interesting that there are stories that this is the that all politicians are compromised, and you think, well, how do they compromise these people? How do they get these people to do these bad things? And then I look at what happened to my friend and I think, yeah, he was being set up to be a politician. And it kind of makes sense. It's very, very out of character for him to have done that. And the interesting thing was, like, when he stopped to go and pick up the wrench, how would he know the wrench was there? And the security guard let him in the building. Security guard stood there while he went to attack the woman. The security guard didn't actually jump on him until he collapsed to the ground.
Oh my.
So the whole thing seems like it was a setup. Yeah, I think
Sounds like
it's
a setup.
incredibly interesting. Yeah. And he's a perfect guy for the job as well. He's a good-looking
Well,
guy. He's got a young
you know,
family. Like,
Hillary and Bill Clinton are have had been involved with voodoo, you know. Alex Jones was reading from one of the books that they've written about how they like to have voodoo spirits come into their bodies. So there's an example, Bill and Hillary Clinton, you know, that are
Oh, yeah.
in very much into the occult. Are you familiar with Rudolf Steiner? He
Yeah, to
supposedly
a degree.
predicted. Are you aware of this? That in 1917, he predicted the future. Scientists would be able to inoculate people against so they wouldn't be religious.
Oh,
That
right,
was
yes.
Rudolf Steiner was very friendly with Madame Blavatsky and Albert Pike and all these people, and he knew Nietzsche and Nietzsche's half sister. He's pretty friendly with them. I guess you, Deanna, you probably know about that too, but
Yeah, I do.
what
Well,
was Alice Alice?
well, there's
Yeah,
that
go ahead.
controversial video as well that some people debate whether it's true or not, where they're talking about removing the God gene. So, with vaccines.
Yeah.
So, yeah, interesting concepts.
Well, they can do that just by changing by the seminaries. When you look at who funds the seminaries, that people that that future pastors and religious leaders went to, you can see that they don't have to put anybody in a trance. They just teach them what they want them to teach. And pretty soon you have Zionist churches, you have churches that practice Freemasonry, you have all kinds of garbage going on. And so you can remove the gene, the God gene, just by doing that, by just altering religion. And of course, there's a difference between religion and spirituality. You don't have to go to a building to be spiritual. In fact, it's probably the worst thing you could do is go to a building to be spiritual.
Well, I do it just by influence as well, by controlling people's perception, controlling sure. people's consciousness. I mean, television will put people into a trance state just by looking at it. It lulls you into those alpha waves. Then you put people into a state of scarcity. You put people into a state of scarcity and then provide certain people, give them authority over others, and you find that little spark of sociopathy in people, and you nurture that, and you get that to grow in people just by putting people in a state of artificial scarcity and then granting certain people power over others during that situation. And this is how you create this psychopathic society that we've got, you see.
Right. It certainly is. Narcissistic society. Also,
are you aware that vaccination itself was introduced in the 18th century by Mary Wortley Montagu, famous traveler and writer back then, and she was learned about it from Turkey, where they were practicing vaccination, and I guess she is the first one to introduce vaccination to Western civilization. She was
pre-Jenner?
The mistress of. Pardon?
That was before Jenner.
Vaccination with smallpox vaccination. The Turks were doing it, and she had lived in Turkey and introduced it to England. It spread. I guess smallpox vaccination is the first form of vaccination. And she was a mistress of the Philip Duke of Wharton, and later mistress of Sir Francis Dashwood in the Medmenham Monks. This is the 18th century. I don't know if you ever read about the Hellfire Club, but interesting.
Yes, yes. In fact, yeah. Benjamin Franklin used to belong to that.
Yeah, he was a member. I've been there. I've been to the to the place in I think it's Oxfordshire, right?
Yes.
I've been there anyway.
Yes.
It's interesting kind of visiting the estate of Sir Francis Dashwood. But
now, I thought
interesting.
Edward Jenner was the guy that did all the smallpox work. And he was an English
physician. Yeah, but originally Mary Wortley Montagu introduced the idea of vaccination developed by the Turks in the 18th century, supposedly.
Okay.
And very interesting, the occult tie in with the creation of the vaccine. As far as I know, the smallpox vaccine, that's why they call it vaccination, because it has to do with the cow.
Mm-hmm, right.
I mean,
cowpox.
Cowpox, yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Just little interesting little tidbits I happened to come across.
Well, thank you for
your phone call. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Charles.
Nice to talk to you, Charles.
Okay, let's take Richard in Alabama. Oh, okay. We'll take a break first, and then we'll take Richard. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. It starts with you.
All righty, we are back with our guest today, Max Egan, and we were just about to take a phone call from Richard in Alabama. Richard?
I'm here.
Okay, you have a question?
Comment? Right. About, so when I heard that the COVID-19 vaccine had to be refrigerated at extremely cold temperatures, it jogged my memory about an article that I read in a magazine 50 years ago, and I'm pretty old. But this article was about birth control in Africa. And the idea was that if you inject live sperm into a prepubescent child, it will cause that child to develop an allergy to sperm. Whether it's a girl or a boy, they will both develop an allergic reaction, and they will continue to be allergic after puberty, sort of like peanut allergies. So that if, when the boy reached puberty, his immune system would attack his own testicles.
Oh my.
And when the girl went past puberty, she would have an immune response to sperm that entered the natural way. But the drawback in the whole system was that sperm don't live very long unless they're kept
frozen. I see where you're going.
Unless they're kept cryogenically frozen, like in a sperm bank. So the sperm create a allergy, like the peanut allergy, which apparently lasts their entire lifetime. And anyway, that kind of news is completely eliminated from our modern media. But I just thought I'd remind you of what might be the great plan of COVID-19 vaccination.
That's really interesting. Like a lot of people have suggested that the vaccine is going to sterilize people, and you'd wonder how they would do that. That's a very interesting piece of information. So thanks for sharing that. I hadn't heard about that at all. It sort of stands to reason that if they've done experiments like this, and thanks for sharing. I'll definitely pass that on to a couple of doctors that I know and see what they think about that information.
Yes.
Let me scare the hell out of them.
Yeah. Well, Richard, thank you so much.
Okay,
take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, let's take Thomas in New Mexico.
Okay. Bye-bye. Hear me okay? Deanna, can you hear me?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay, Deanna, I'm going to get to the point. I want to thank you very much. I'm very humbly grateful for getting Max on as a guest. I have a lot of respect for Max up in Australia, and I want to share something. I'm going to get to the point, okay? I share this. I called John Statmiller, the owner of this network, and he fully agrees with me. I know he's been doing his research. I need you to refresh and re-jog my memory. I know the name, and I can't think of it, Richard, and he wrote the book, he has a book called Your Straw Man. He used to have been a guest on RBN.
Oh, that's Clint Richardson.
Yeah, Clint Richardson. Clint Richardson, very good man. I have a lot of respect for him also. He gets real truth out. Now, the reason why I mentioned Clint Richardson is because the point that I'm going to get to, and please hear me out and research, because John Statmiller fully agrees with me, and I'm going to say something. All of our governments are lying to us. This is a planned pandemic. There's no virus. There's even doctors that are warning, like Dr. Carrie Maidé. I got in touch with her. I got her email, Dr. Carrie Maidé, a whistleblower doctor, and Dr. Andrew Kaufman knows that there is no virus. Okay. Our governments are lying to us. We've been lied to a long time. Now, the point that I want to say, what I told John Statmiller, and he fully agrees with me. All these wars, none of these wars are for our freedom. In fact, I heard that they just bombed Damascus the other day. And Israel is a terrorist Zionist nation. And I'm sure you'd agree with me. I'm in contact with Dr. Eric Carlstrom. I'm in contact with Dr. Eric Carlstrom. He lives close to me. I am a targeted individual, just like Dr. Eric Carlstrom. I don't have a long time to live. They're threatening me. I'm telling you the real truth. I am a targeted individual. Thomas, out in northeastern New Mexico, I'm 54 years old. My life is being threatened. I need to tell you the truth. None of these wars are for our freedom. And I'm telling you, the military, John Statmiller knows I told the truth. The military is not for none of our freedom. The military is just for continuity of government. The military only protects the higher-ups, the elites. Now, this may sound to many or to veterans that are listening, but I'm going to speak the truth. The American flag, when you pledge to the American flag and you say the Pledge of Allegiance, you're actually pledging to a satanic flag. The flag of the United States is a Freemason flag, just like the Israel flag is a six-pointed star. It's a hexagram. It's 666, the Israel flag. I know Max would fully agree with me.
Let me interject. The last thing I'd like to say,
and I'm done. A lot of people do not know this, but I listened to the veterans. I listened to the veterans that came forward that survived the USS Liberty, and the USS Liberty was massacred from Israel. Israel is a satanic Zionist nation, and we are in trouble in this country. And it is a fake pandemic, and the vaccine is the mark of the beast. It's an RFID chip, mRNA vaccine.
Exactly. I agree with you, of course. I do not pledge allegiance. I wrote an article, or it's in one of my books. It's called The Pledge of Obedience. You are pledging to obey the government when you stand up and say the Pledge of Allegiance. Now, there are schools throughout the country that force people to say the pledge. And I believe that it is said at various sports, I don't go to sports facilities, but they have actually patronized or militarized sports and incorporate patriotism for warfare during sports activities. But no, I wouldn't say the Pledge of Obedience to anybody.
Yeah,
because what
I don't
you're
either.
Doing is saying that you're going to do exactly what the government tells you to do, and I'm just not going to do that. So,
exactly.
Max, your comments. Max?
Yeah, well, interesting. I mean, yeah, the whole world is, like I said, it's run by a multinational criminal cabal. Nothing is what people think it is.
Right.
And none of the wars that are fought under the pretexts that we're told. Yeah, and really insidious things happen in these war zones. Like I said, it's all about depopulation. And people don't realize the level of evil that happens in these places. I mean, you think about the human body, for example. When you go to a country such as, you know, Somalia or Sudan or Syria or anywhere, and you got these mercenary forces going in there, like people like Blackwater, who are called, I think it's Z or something, or Zing or something they're called now. They keep changing their names because they get in so much flack for what they do.
Sure.
And these alleged white hats that are going in there, these people are actually child traffickers, most of them. And that's the first resource in a war zone. When you're going to take over a village, you're not just going to kill all the people in the village. A healthy human body can fetch something around about $53 million on the black market you can get for one human body. You know, you sell your hearts, the lungs, the livers, the organs. You can sell the bone marrow.
It's 11.2
The bone marrow.
11.2
I think it's more than that. But the bone marrow itself is worth thousands of dollars per gram just for bone marrow. And you can harvest that 2 weeks after people are dead. So these are the first resources in war zones, are the people. They're not just going to kill people when they can get a lot of money for them. And, of course, the Middle East is a really good source of healthy organs because there's no alcohol in the Middle East. So people aren't you know, abusing their bodies that way. So you get good, clean organs from these people. And the children are trafficked, and the women are trafficked, and the men are put into slave labor. These are the first resources in all war zones. It's far more insidious than what people believe.
Right, and you can't an organ, a vital organ like a heart, a kidney, lung, cannot be taken from a dead body. So they kill people in the process of extracting their vital organs because, as I say, once the heart stops beating, 5 minutes, it's not viable. So you have to question what kind of military people or what kind of professionals, and you brought up Blackwater, were they all nurses, doctors, or whatever. And Bill Frist, who was in Congress, back when the first heart was implanted in 1968, they started considering these things, and the money involved, because somebody got a heart transplant, I can't remember in what country, but it didn't work, and so they thought, we have to evaluate this, and it's pretty scary. So, and you're considered in every state in the union, you're considered a donor unless you opt out.
It's important that people do because if you're in a car accident and you're still alive but you're unconscious,
right?
It's far more profitable for them to sell your organs than what it is to actually help you and bring you back to life.
That's why they send you to a trauma center. They know if you're an organ donor within minutes because everything's been digitized. So all the medical records are digitized. If you're in an accident and you're a donor, you're not going to go to the hospital to get well. You're going to the trauma center where they have people that will talk to your parents or talk to your wife, your spouse, and say, oh, we don't think he's going to make it. And brain dead. That was a new criteria for dead. Used to be that when you died, your heart stopped beating. Okay, but now they changed things so they can call you brain dead and they can extract all your organs. The hospital gets $11.2 million. The family gets nothing except a hospital bill.
Mm-hmm. That's the way they do it. And brain dead, it simply means you're in a coma. I mean, you're just not responding.
Right.
So, and half the time you're fully aware, you just can't respond. I mean, people that have been in comas for a long time that have had people coming and read to them and stuff, they've remembered it. They've heard every reading session. They've been completely aware that these people are there visiting them every day. They just can't respond.
Right.
So it's a very, very insidious situation.
Deanna, can I ask you and Max for advice?
Yeah, you can
advice is a dangerous thing.
Yeah.
Well, I fully trust you guys. I'm and I know Deanna's awake. I have a lot of respect for the host, Deanna. She had Dr. Eric Carlstrom filled in for her recently, and she used to have Clint Richardson and Max. I respect you. Okay, I'm going to be honest. I'm afraid to say this on the live call, but I'm scared. I'm scared of what's going on about this pandemic and about this.
I believe
it is the mark of the beast.
Being afraid is not going to help you. You need to take care of yourself. You need to turn off the TV. Stop listening to the garbage because stress.
No, I don't listen to the TV. But I'm fully awake. But
okay.
I'm thinking about suicide. I want to get out of this world.
No. Don't let them force you to do that. That's not good.
That's not the way to do it. That's not the way to do it at all.
No. Don't you dare do that.
I mean, if you're gonna exit the realm, it'll happen in its own way. You don't need to encourage that. It's when that moment comes, whether you're prepared to stand your ground. I mean, if it comes to that.
Max, well, can I tell you one?
Yeah, sure.
I don't want to wear a mask because it goes against my faith. Because I know it's not a real pandemic, I believe.
Then don't wear one.
What I'm scared about, here in the state of New Mexico, they're forcing masks. You literally almost can't buy food in a store now unless you wear a mask in a store.
All the states. I do not wear a mask. I wore a mask months ago, and I thought, I'm not wearing this darn mask, and I don't wear a mask. I tell people I'm medically exempt, and according to HIPAA law, people are not allowed to ask you what your medical condition is, and you can get a card on a lanyard that says exactly that. Don't wear a mask. Stand up for your rights. The government does not have a right to...
You're in the state of New Mexico. They won't let you in a store. They will not let you in a store now.
Well, you're just going to have to figure out something different. I'm in Illinois. I've got Pritzker for governor.
Yeah, I mean, I've been suggesting people stock up on food for the last since this started. As soon as they shut flights in March, mm-hmm. I told people, okay, now you got to start buying food. Mm-hmm. You need to have, because pretty soon you're not going to be able to go into supermarkets without vaccines and health cards and all sorts of stuff. Mm-hmm. So you need to have a supply there for when this happens. I've been saying this for the last 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
I've got at least 2 years worth of food stacked up here in my home. If it gets to the point where I can't go out and I can't wear a mask, I can't go out and do anything without wearing a mask, well, I'm not gonna do it. And if you try to take me away, well, I'm not gonna go with you.
Right.
I'm not gonna go die in some facility. If I'm gonna die, then I'll die right here, right now, fighting you.
Yeah, that's what
because
I'm gonna
do. Face infinity without flinching. I'm not gonna back down. This is a spiritual test.
Down.
And dying is the one thing I came here to do in this realm. I'm going to exit the realm one day. This whole life is an exam. And we're about to face this spiritual challenge. We're about to face this soul test. And it's going to be whether we are in fear or whether we are prepared to face infinity without flinching. I mean, dying is what we came here to do. There's no good helping that along and saying, I'm going to kill myself out of fear. You just face infinity without flinching. If it comes to the point where you have to stand your ground, you do that, you know, and you let the cards fall where they may. I have absolutely no fear of death at all. I have no fear for any of the future they're trying to roll out, and I respect no authority that exists between myself and my God Creator. And that's the way it is. And I won't back down to anybody. If they want to escalate the situation to the point that they kill me, well, that's their karma, because I'm not doing what they say, because they have no right of ownership or authority over me. And that's just the way I live my life. And fear just doesn't come into it.
Yeah,
I mean, this is just the way I approach it. If humanity goes down this pathway and allows themselves to be led into the machine, that's their problem. That's their issue. I've done my best to suggest that there's a better way. But if this is the way consciousness purifies itself, well, so be it. Because what comes after this brief experience we call life is actually the main event.
Mm-hmm.
It's how you choose to face that and how you choose to walk your path through this. And there's no cop-outs. There's no way of suiciding your way out of it and thinking that you escaped anything. You just come back and do it again. And you'll have to get to that point where you've got to make the decision as to whether you're prepared to face infinity without flinching. And that's what this whole life experience is about. And this is the soul test that we've been preparing for our whole lives. So, you know, I say bring it on. It's going to separate the wheat from the chaff, and it's going to give each individual soul the opportunity to shine absolutely divinely. And that's what's coming here. So, yeah, I mean, it's just your perspective of how to look at it, brother.
Right, right. Don't be afraid. Stand up and don't be afraid.
Yeah, I'm trying to hang in there, you guys, Max and Deanna. I'm trying to hang in there, and yes, you can do it. I am really a TI targeted individual, just like Dr. Eric Carlstrom.
Hey, you know what? We're all targeted. No, nobody's targeted anymore. Everybody's targeted.
I was fully targeted in January this year as well, so I know what it's like. All I did though was strengthen my resolve.
Right.
So, well, if you're going to mess with me that much, now I just started speaking out even stronger when that happened. So,
yeah. Don't let them intimidate you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep strong.
You can do this.
Yeah, I mean, this is the time we've been waiting for. And I feel really empowered by the fact that so many people are waking up. I mean, everything that we've said about this mechanism being what it is and where it's going, it's no longer a conspiracy theory. It's here. It's right here in everybody's face. You know, we've been vindicated, and everything that we've said for years is coming. And it's really red-pilling the whole world. I mean, they've gone about it a little bit too quickly in many ways. And this whole forced vaccination and all this stuff they're going to do for travel, 89% of Australians are saying no way they're going to be forced to take a vaccine. So it's going to be very interesting. It's going to be a huge pushback. You're going to see a huge pushback. And it's going to get to the point where they won't be able to come and enforce their mask mandates and things. It's going to be, I mean, you're heading for a pretty desperate situation in the United States with food shortages and all sorts of things that are coming. I mean, it's almost has the potential to turn into Mad Max world, the way things are going. Mm-hmm. They really want to have some violent upheaval after this farcical election is sorted out. I mean, whoever they appoint, whether it's going to be Trump or Biden, the other side isn't going to be happy, and there's going to be violence on the streets. So I'd be more concerned about that and just hunkering down, getting yourself set up with the supplies that you need and getting prepared to weather the storm. And be prepared to just pick up a backpack and a tent and head off into the bush if you need to. It's really coming to that. If people can get out of the cities, I mean, that's the best thing you could do. Get to somewhere that's higher ground, spiritual higher ground, morally higher ground, somewhere where you can weather the storm a little bit. But I think that's more of a concern is the ravaging minions around you that are going to be deprived of food and how they're all going to be freaking out and warring with each other on the streets. That's more of a danger than anything the government is trying to do, I think, at the moment, because it's all looking like it's going to implode in the next couple of months. So I don't know. I'm finding it really empowering. I'm just finding the whole thing empowering because everything is being revealed so clearly. Mm-hmm. And it's a huge opportunity for freedom. It really is. It's a huge opportunity for consciousness to just rise above all of this and filter out all the riffraff along the way. So, yeah, I say bring it on.
Yeah, bring it on.
Yeah. Deanna, Max, I ran. I'm not at my location where I'm usually at. I'm at a motel close to Roswell. I'm not going to give my exact location, but I'm hoping when I get the energy, because I'm internally bleeding inside from the targeting, I'm hoping when I get some energy, I'm going to try to drive to Roswell. And I brought a high definition camera. I'm going to try to get to where the UFO site, where the UFO crashed in Roswell, try to get some video, and I'll try to upload it if I can, or try to record it with my phone on, and I'll post it on Twitter. I'm on Twitter, Blue Raven USA. That's where you can find me on Twitter, Blue Raven USA. Okay. I'm going to post your show when you get done with Max okay. Egan. I'm going to post your show, Deanna, on my Twitter later on this evening when it's okay. In the archives.
Okay. Well, Max is on Twitter and I'm on Twitter also. You're welcome. And stay brave, okay?
All right, thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, let's take a chance in West Virginia.
Yes, hello, Deanna. Hello, Maxwell. Maxwell, I listen to you on the Global Star Satellite Radio on AVR for about 3 years. You're one of my favorite programs on Francis Stephan AVR. And when you longer... Yes, and when you discontinued, I was very disappointed. Like I said, I was a faithful listener. I got to ask you, though, Maxwell, you always ended your show with the phrase, Ela Kesh. Can you just explain that to me, what you meant? Because I've been trying to figure out what that meant.
Ela Kesh. Ela Kesh is a Mayan greeting. It's a Mayan jungle greeting. It means I am another yourself. Basically, we are each other. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. It's not just a greeting, it's a philosophy, you know.
You always ended your show with that, and I tried so hard to figure out. I looked and I couldn't come up with it. Now, my question to you, Maxwell, is this. Now, you're in Australia, and from what I understand, in Victoria, they're having a lockdown. They're making the people's lives miserable. And my question to you is this. Now, I understand, I read that they have a very high crime rate among the Sudanese in Victoria. Is that correct? To where the African, they created the African Australian Community Task Force just to deal with it. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, yeah. Look, they brought in a whole bunch of refugees, you know, to help them, of course. When they get the real refugees, the ones that are really desperate, and they put them in detention centers. But they brought in this certain crew, which are all, you know, young men of fighting age, who they bring in and they set up in certain communities in their little, you know, so they're all together and, you know, to sit there and just breed contempt, and which is what they do. And yeah, it's all done by design. They bring in these segregated communities so they can create these problems.
Yes. Maxwell, my question is this. Now, unfortunately, too many of the Caucasian people around the world lay down and die. They won't protest these lockdowns. How do they keep, out of curiosity, how do they keep the Sudanese under control during lockdowns? Because they don't follow the rules and the laws of society. I mean, is there a problem with them? Are they at least violating the lockdowns?
Well, it's by putting the fear into people's minds and spreading the concept that the virus is real. That's all they need to do. And they'll lock themselves down. They'll police themselves. That's what they do. They're scared of catching this terrible pandemic, you know? And
yeah,
all you got to really do is deny them internet access, you know, to any of the good stuff and just feed them propaganda from the TV. That's all it really takes. And they'll lock themselves down. They suddenly lose all of their testosterone and all their bravado that they had when they were out there trying to terrorize white people. And then suddenly they stay at home and cower in fear, wearing their masks, scared of this little invisible enemy that they can't see.
Yeah, I was just wondering, because they're more rebellious how they were taking it. Maxwell, it was great to hear your voice again, my friend, and God bless you. Thank you, Deanna. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
I still am on BitChute as well. Look, I should go back and do some shows for American Voice Radio. It was crazy because I'd been doing this show on AVR, and Frank Stefan has been great to me. And I was doing this show for like 12 years on AVR, nearly 13 years. And then I thought, wow, I've been doing this every week for 13 years, and I just need a break. There's a lot of effort in building those video clips that I used to put on YouTube. And I used to have to pre-record the shows because I couldn't live stream because I didn't have the bandwidth for it. So I'd have to pre-record the shows and then create the video for them. And then it was just, I thought, I really need a break from this. So I'll take a month or two off. And then the fires happened and then this pandemic happened. And now I find that I'm putting out videos on BitChute like every couple of days on the Crow House channel on BitChute. And I'm putting out three or four or five times as much stuff as what I was when I was doing those weekly radio shows. But yeah, I did that for about almost 13 years on AVR, and I really should start doing it again, but it's just finding the time, you know?
Sure. Well, you can't do it all. You just do what you can, and I've been doing this program for just over 10 years. I celebrated my 10-year anniversary on October 23rd, and the time just went by so quickly. I thought, oh, my gosh.
It's amazing how quick it goes, isn't it?
Yes,
and when
it
I look
is.
At like what I've done with the Crow House, I mean, it's all been a one-man show. I mean, it's all been a one-man job. All the videos I've created, hundreds
That's
of
right.
videos, and the website. The website's got over like almost 2,000 pages on it. And I did every pixel of that website myself, and I did every video by myself, and I've done, like, I don't have any assistants or anything like that. It's like a few months where I had a young guy, a cameraman, who did a few bits of editing for me on a few videos, so that was good. But 98% of what's come out of the Crow House has been a one-man effort over the last 13 years, and so it does take a toll after a little while. You do need to have a bit of downtime, you know.
Sure. And always talking about, well, negative things can be a downer, but I believe that if people know something that would be of benefit to others, that they have a moral obligation to share it, and that's why I keep doing this, because I feel morally obligated. And I would certainly, if somebody else, a friend or family or whatever, knew something that I didn't, I would want to be told. And so.
Well, yeah, it's. I find the information empowering. I find what I do empowering. It might be negative information that I'm dealing with, but it's real information that I'm dealing with. What is negative is often the emotions that people attach to the information that they're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and a lot of people will say, "Oh, you know, love and light, and what where attention goes, energy flows, and all of this sort of stuff," and they'll refuse to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And really, all information is light. I mean, knowledge is light. All information is light. Some, even what we would term to be dark information, you know, negative information, bad information, you know, confronting mm-hmm. information is more likely. It's confronting. It's not that it's bad or negative. It's confronting because it's right. some part of reality you didn't really want to admit was there. But and if you are refusing to look at it, well, you're refusing to bring light to that darkness, and this is your failure to be able to process certain forms of light because you're living in fear. People will sit there and say, oh, no, I'm in a state of harmony and bliss, but I refuse to look at that because it'll upset my harmony and bliss. Well, actually, you're living in a state of fear by your refusal to process right. certain forms of light, and you could actually bring healing to those situations if you had the confidence in yourself and the strength in your own resolve and your own power to be able to look into that darkness. Because as soon as you bring light to that darkness, the darkness flees and it can't does. Exist anymore. So that's the problem that people have. And it's because they have a stake in the outcome. They place too much emphasis on what will happen if they look there, how bad they may feel or whatever. Even when you look at the situation the world's in, that people have a stake in the outcome. They see this prison state coming. And I think, well, what does it matter? I won't be here. It doesn't matter. This is a temporary experience that I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
I can offer a better path. I can see a better way of doing things. But if the human race does that, well, I'll exit the realm however it happens because they'll make me exit the realm because I'm simply not going to comply. And I have no mm-hmm. fear of doing that because exiting the realm is what I came here to do. Ultimately, sure. It's on everybody's schedule. You know, it's there. It's on the list of things to do.
You can't get out alive, right?
Yeah, you can't get out. As Jim Morrison said, nobody here gets out alive. So people have a stake in the outcome, and that's why they get scared of things, why they get terrified of the future or whatever. But really, you have no stake in the outcome. This is a temporary experience. It's a breath. I mean, I remember when I was 15 years old. It was just the other day. You know?
We have top of the hour break. We'll pick this up on the other side, okay? Be right back.
You've been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.